Today's shiur is Masechta Beya Davav, and we will begin on Davav Amin Aleph, the first words, Amarava. The Gemara continues discussing the halachas of 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laaretz, Yontif Sheni Shagolius, and 2 days Rosh Hashanah, the different subjects that we've been discussing over the last couple of days. Amarava Meis be Yontif Rishon, if on the first day of Yontif, Rachman Tzlon, someone passes away, the halacha is asked by Amimim. Who should bury this nifter? Goyim. So the Shita says, certainly if there's a situation where the person who passed away is an Adam Gadol, a distinguished person, and making the Levaya and Yontif will not be to his respect, we could push off the Levaya. Here we're dealing with a person that we want to do the Levaya on the first day of Yontif. The Rishonim also say, certainly the only discussion here is that the person is already passed away. If the person is a geisus, he's very ill, but he hasn't passed away, we will not make a levaya or start doing any preparations just because we think he's going to die. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in the Kavod Shiurim makes a very interesting point. He says, from here we see that there are two types of mitzvahs. There's certain mitzvahs where the mitzvah is to do the mitzvah. And certain mitzvahs, the goal is to accomplish something. He says, by kvura, the mitzvah is not the burial. The mitzvah is that the person who passed away should be buried. So therefore, it makes no difference that goyim are burying this person who passed away, because the goal is that he should be buried. And he says, in halach, we find this concept. He says, we had a Gemara Masech Sukkah. The Gemara Masech Sukkah, we're actually going to talk about it tomorrow, Kisui Hadam. The blood, when you shecht, you have to cover. So the Gemara Masech Sukkah says that you have to do Kisui Hadam, and let's say the blood gets uncovered, you don't have to do Kisui Hadam again. Why? Because there the mitzvah is to cover the blood. On the other hand, by burying someone who died, it's not the mitzvah to do the burial. The mitzvah is that he should be buried. And therefore, if Chas V'Shalom, should that body become exposed, there would be a mitzvah to have him buried again. Because the mitzvah, they should be buried, and therefore, if Goyim do it, it's also acceptable because he's buried. Meis be Yontif Sheni, but if the person died on the second day of Yontif, yas kubay Yisrael. Now, a Jew should do the kfura, vafil b'shnei yom tam Rosh Hashanah, and Rava goes a step further. Even though we've been treating the second day Rosh Hashanah different than every second day Yontif, the shiur we learned yesterday, that's considered Kedusha Achas, for burial of a person who died, there we treat the second day of Rosh Hashanah like all other second day Yontif. Mash en kein bebeya. He says, regarding a beya, that we said yesterday, that even though we learned that if an egg was laid on the first day of Yontif, it's permitted on the second day Yontif, by Rosh Hashanah we learned, if it's born late on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's not permitted on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. He says, that's regarding an egg. But regarding a person who passed away, even in Rosh Hashanah, the second day Yontif, Jews could do the kvura. Nadoi, Nadoi goes a step further. He says, af bebeya. Even by an egg, the halacha is that second day of Rosh Hashanah, if the egg was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's permitted. Why? Because he says, the madatach, why do you think, he says, based on the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered one Kedusha? Because we're concerned, Dilma Mabar Leil Elul. Perhaps they'll make the 30th day of Nisan, the 30th day of Elul, still Elul, and Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, will be only day 31. And since we had that whole discussion yesterday, we don't know when the Edom come, and we don't accept Edom, so they made it one long Kedusha. He says, that whole concern is not relevant. Why? Because Amrav Chinen Abakahan Amrav, we mois Ezra Ve'elich, if we review the history of Klal Yisrael, Lemetzina Elam Uber. Edom always arrived on the 30th in the morning to tell us that the 30th of Elul is the first day of Tishrei, and there's no reason to have any concern.
So when did they have the problem with the Shira?
Ask the Maram a very fundamental question. The Maram asks, yesterday we spent the whole day learning a shiur about Rosh Hashanah. and we went through Kilkel Alevi and Bashir, and we went through Edom coming, and when we take the Edom before Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's times, after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's time. And this very fundamental point, that we never had the Shaila, the Gemara didn't bring up, in such a fundamental issue. So the Maram answers a very interesting teretz. He says, when Chazal make a Gezerah, they don't make it in a vacuum. It has to be affected somewhere. So he says, everything we learned yesterday is 100% true. But what Rav Chinina was saying was, all of what we learned is potentially true. But there was never one situation where we had to actually affect it. So since we never had to affect it, Rosh Hashanah always was the first day of Rosh Hashanah. This that they kept the second day of Rosh Hashanah in other places was only because they didn't get the message when Rosh Hashanah was called, and therefore it's Shtei Kedushas. Amar Mazutra comes, Razutra, and says, Lo Yamarn El Dishtai. When do we say that we're allowed to bury somebody on the second day? It's only if by waiting, the body could deteriorate. If there won't be any damage by waiting, machinally, we wait. Ravash Yoma, Avgab de Loyishtai, even if there's no damage will be done to the body by waiting, Nami Loy machinally. On the second day Yontav, we don't wait. We make the Kfur on the second day Yontav. Why? Because Yontav Sheni, L'Gabemes, Kechol Shavu Rabbonin. Chazal treated the second day of Yontif like a weekday. Just like on a weekday we do a Levaya, so too we do a Levaya on the second day Yontif. So the way there's a machlokes we're showing them how to understand this Gemara. It's very clear that Rav Ashi and Mazutra are debating what is the din on the second day Yontif. If the mace is laying here, according to Mazutra, only if the mace will deteriorate do we do the Levaya. If not, not. However, what's going to be the halacha on the first day Yontif? That isn't obvious in the Gemara what the halacha is. So Rashi says, certainly on the first day Yontif, where we're having Jews, Rashi says it's only on the second day Yontif, but on the first day Yontif, where it's Goyim that are doing the Levaya, so there we don't start looking what the status of the body is, we could always do the Levaya. That's how Rashi learns. The Rosh says no, that on the first day Yontif, everyone will agree, since it's the first day Yontif, if we could avoid doing the Levaya on the first day Yontif, even though we're using Goyim, we should not do the Levaya on the first day Yontif.
So the second,
wait till after Yontif, you can. Now there's a few interesting shailas that the Rishonim already discussed. One shaila is, we said that a Levaya on the first day Yontif, we use Goyim. Now there's certain parts of the Levaya that can be done by a Jew, because on Yontif we're allowed to carry. So the Shaila that Rishonim discuss is, can Jews be the one to carry out the Nifter to the Levaya? Eid is a problem of Muksa, so we learned the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that if there's a body that's Muksa, what you do is you put on an Akik or a Tinnik, a child or a loaf of bread, and it becomes a Bosses L'Davar Het, then you can move it. So now the question is, you're making a Levaya on the first day Yontif with Goyim. The parts that you have to use Goyim, you have to use Goyim. But the parts that Jews can do, should Jews do? Or we say that since Goyim are doing it, the Goyim should do everything. So it's a machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim learn that whatever Jew could do, a Jew could do. Other Rishonim say, since we're anyway doing the Levaya with Goyim, Goyim should do the entire Levaya. And that's the halacha. The Mishnah Berurah says the Goyim should do the entire Levaya, since they're doing a crucial part of it anyway. If there's another, the Aruch HaShulchan says that the discussion in our Gemara is only regarding Yontif. What would happen if Chas V'Sholem, somebody died on Shabbos or Yom Kippur? There, certainly we don't do the Levaya. Why? The Aruch HaShulchan explains, based on what we just said, since you can never do any Melacha on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, if we'll do a Levaya on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, even if we'll use Goyim, what will people say? That this person who died caused that there should be people that were Mechal Shabbos. He was the cause for Chil Shabbos, because even a guy is not allowed to do Melacha for us on Shabbos Yom Kippur. Therefore, not to stigmatize the person who passed away that way, we don't do a Levaya on Shabbos Yom Kippur. There's an interesting tshuva from Ramosha. Ramosha says that nowadays, even on the second day Yontif, that we have shouldn't know from such things. Refrigerators, where we could put the neftarim, we should not do a levaya even on the second day yontif. He says because inevitably there will be chil Shabbos, chil yontif, past what the Gemara allows, and Chazal didn't want us to do chil yontif, and that would be a terrible for that person who died that he caused it. And Rav Moshe says a very interesting thing. He says, if Chazal would have known that we have ways of preserving a nifter in a dignified manner nowadays, they wouldn't have never said this Gemara. So Rav Moshe says. In other circles, Chassidish circles, they do levayas, certainly on the second day yontif. The halach is that Jews could do the levaya. The Rishonim say that not only are the Jews allowed to go out to the cemetery to be nifter, he's allowed to come back. Why? Because if the person going to do the levaya won't be allowed to come back, he'll never go. But the halacha also obviously is only the minimum amount of people needed to do the kvura. One of the things I saw the Paiskim say, usually we try to be makbid by a kvura that the Jew, only Jews should dig the hole. Not necessarily dig the hole, but fill the hole. You don't have to, that's a minig. You don't have to necessarily do that on yontif. Some of it should be done by the Jews, but it doesn't necessarily have to be to the last drop of sand. I saw another interesting machlokes rishonim. Is here we're discussing a situation where there's somebody who passed away, and we don't know what to do, on what circumstances we can or cannot do a levaya. What would happen, and the Shaila Rahman son happened, somebody dies, not here, we get word somebody passed away in a hospital, not where we are, and there's a Jewish person who passed away laying in the hospital with nobody Jewish to attend him. Is the halacha that we're allowed to do a levaya apply then? Or is the halacha that we're allowed to do a levaya only when the mace is in front of us? So it's a machlokes rishonim. The Rivosh says that the Gemara is only discussing when the mace is here. But if the mace is not here, we don't have a right to go there. The Tashbats and the Rashba, and that's the way we paskin, say that is more all the more reason to go. He's like a mace mitzvah. Another shayla that the Rishonim discuss is for any person, we do this. Certainly, if a child, Rahman al-Tzlan, dies more than 30 days old, then he's considered a full-fledged Jew, and we do it for him. What would be the halacha, two shaylas, if a nafil died, child didn't make it to 30 days, or the child that died was on the 30th day, and we're not sure he's a nafil or not. So the summary shouldn't say, since every Jewish person, even a nafil, has to be buried, so it makes no difference how old or who he was. Other Rishonim say that the halach is only by person who is not a nafil, but if we have a suffix, we could be makel. If we even have not sure if he's a nafil or not, we go lenient and we make a levaya. Yet there are other Rishonim that say we have to be 100% certain that he's not a nafil. We have to be 100% certain that he's not a nafil, otherwise we can't do a levaya on yontif. There's an interesting machloikis between the tzlach and the Turi Evin. The Tzlach says that this entire discussion that we're having in our Gemara, very interesting Tzlach, is in our world, where we truly know that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is really Aleph Tishrei, and this that we're keeping base Tishrei is because of all the Menhagim that we discussed. So therefore, since we really know the base Tishrei, or the second day of any Yontif is really not Yontif, therefore, we could be Mekel, we have a Levaya, we can make a Levaya. But, says the Tzlach, in time of the Gemara, where they really didn't know, because the Shluchim didn't arrive, and they really didn't know which day was Yontif, and the second day may really be the real Yontif, there, says the Tzlach, our Gemara isn't relevant. Turi Evin disagrees strongly. He says he can't say that. The Gemara doesn't make any such distinction. Our Gemara says the first day yes, the second day not. The Chassam Sofer was asked, Shaila, he says, you know, in a levaya, there are two parts. There's the physical part, we bury the person, we do whatever we have to do. The Gemara's going to give some more examples. And then there's the, I would say, let's say, the spiritual part of the levaya, tzedek hadin, and all of those aspects of the levaya. The question is, when the Gemara says we make a levaya on the first day, second day, do we say tzedek hadin, do we do everything? So he brings a very nice raya that we do not. He says, the halacha is, that why do we say tzedek hadin? Because tzedek hadin brings a kapara on the person who passed away. So he says, just like on yontif, a person who has an obligation to bring a karban chatas, his own private obligation, is not allowed to bring a karban chatas. Why? Because Yontif is not a time for your own personal kaparis. So it makes no difference if the person is alive or the person is dead. Kaparis are not brought on Yontif. Says the Gemara, now that we said that on the second day Yontif, we could make a full-fledged Levaya, a few Lomegas like Glima, Lomegas like Asa. We're allowed to make them Tachrichim, and we're allowed to cut Hadassim, they used to put Hadassim as Psomim on the Nifter, on the coffin. There's Machlokes Rashi in Ran, how to understand this line of the Gemara. Rashi understands the line of Gemara this way. We're dealing with a situation, says Rashi, that there are Tachrichim available. But the Tachrichim aren't such nice Tachrichim, don't fit perfectly. So you'd say it's Yontif, that should be good enough. Or Hadassim, you can have a Levaya without Hadassim. We don't have Hadassim by our Levayas. So perhaps since on Yontif, we should limit what we're allowed to do. Teaches us the Gemara, according to Rashi, we could do whatever we have to do, even to make nicer Tachrichim, even to put on Hadassim. The Ran takes the opposite approach. The Ran says, making Tachrichim, cutting Hadassim, is not such a difficult job. That may be done on Yontif. But actually doing something that takes a lot of Melacha, that the Gemara would not allow to be done, not in Yom Tov Rishon, not in Yom Tov Sheni. Ravina, says Ravina, v'hidna de'ika chavri, cheshinen. Now that they lived in a place where chavri were a Persian type of people that persecuted the Jews. And when Jews didn't work on Yom Tov Shabbos, I guess people can relate to this, they used to say, you can't take off today. And they used to have to fight for their rights to take off Shabbos and Yom Tov. So now if they're going to see that we make a Levaya in Yom Tov, they're going to say, you are a lot of work. When you want to work, you're a lot of work. So that's why we don't make a Levaya on Yontif. So Tosis goes into a long discussion based on this Gemara. What is the din? Now that we don't live with Chavri, we don't live Baruch Hashem in such an environment, do we or don't we make a Levaya on the second day Yontif? Rabbeinu Tam says we don't make a Levaya. And Rabbeinu Tam says three different reasons. One reason he says is because we're not B'nai Torah. And if people see that we're going to make a Levaya on the second day Yontif, they may think you're allowed to do other things on the second day Yontif. The Ri says that's not a consideration. What's Mutter is Mutter, what's Moser is also. Rabbeinu Tam says another reason. The Rabbeinu Tam says that maybe, Baruch Hashem, we don't live under control of people like Chavri, but we live with Goyim, and there's always problems people have with their boss. Again, Tosfos says, the Gemara is speaking about Chavri, not anyone else. But then Rabbeinu Tam makes another point, based on the Gemara we learned yesterday. Yesterday we learned the Gemara called Dovah Sheba Minyan. If Chazal make a rule, Tzorach Minyan Achala Tiroi, you can't just undo it. So says Rabbeinu Tam, once Chazal said that we live in a place of Chavri, we don't make Levayas on Yontif, so that becomes the rule. So how can we undo the rule? So Taisa says, and we really spoke about this in the previous year, Taisa says, there are two types of rules Chazal made. Sometimes Chazal made a rule, this is the rule. And even if the circumstances on which the rule was based change, doesn't make a difference. Sometimes Chazal made a rule that they said that the rule is dependent on the circumstances. If the circumstances change, then the rules change. Says Tosfos, this is that type of a rule. When Chazal said that if you live with Goyim that will persecute you, if you start working, they made the rule saying every location should look at its circumstances. And if you live in a place where there's a concern that if you're going to do Levayas, who knows what Goyim will make you do, don't make Levayas. And if you, Baruch Hashem, live in a place where that won't be the case, then you may make Levayas. And that's the way we do. The Api Din, you're allowed to make a Levaya on Yontif. First day with a Goy, second day with Jews. Says the Gemara, Ravina Avi Yosef Kamei Durav Ashi Bishnei Yom Tom Rosh Hashanah. He was sitting by Rav Asi in the 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Chazi Dava Otsev. And he saw they was upset. Amalei, Amai Otsev Mar, why are you upset? Because the Mefarshim explained, he certainly wasn't upset because it's Rosh Hashanah. Because even though Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, Ki Chedvas Hashem Him Uschem, we have to be happy B'din, V'gilu Barada. Amalei, V'lai Siva Erev Tashilin. I didn't make Erev Tashilin. In other words, Rosh Hashanah came out Thursday, Friday. As we have already discussed, in order to be able to cook on Friday for Shabbos, we have to make Erev Tevshilin. And he says, this was Thursday, and I forgot to make an Erev Tevshilin. Amalei lo samar hidna. Why don't you make an Erev Tevshilin today? Milay amarava. Didn't we learn? Menich or Adam Erev Tashilin, Meyantav L'Chaveroi, if somebody forgot to make Erev Tashilin, and it's still the first day Yontav, he could make an Erev Tashilin on that day. Or Masna, he'll make the following condition. What's the condition? He'll say like this. If today is Yontav, again, our example is Thursday, Friday. If today, Thursday, is Yontav, then tomorrow's not Yontav. So it's not Yontav, I could cook for Shabbos, no problem. If on the other hand, today is not Yontav, and tomorrow's Yontav, so I can make an Erev Tashilin today. It's not Yontav. So he says, so why are you so upset? Just go make an Erev Tashilin today. Amalei, so he responded to him, Eimadam Rava, when did Rava give us this option of making Erev Tashilin, B'shnei Yom Tam Shagolius, like we started the Shir, every 2 day Yontav, where we explained that they're two separate Kedushas. If one day is Yontav, the other day isn't, or vice versa. However, Mishnei Yom Tam Shrosh Hashanah Miyomer, as we're saying, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not considered two separate Kedushas, two separate days, rather it's one long Kedusha. Because, so he asked him, but didn't we say in Tapir Amid, V'am Nadoi, Af Bei Muteris, that the Bei that's laid on the first day Yontif is Mutter on the second day Yontif? Amalei Rav, Matcha Beferish, Amalei Mar, Delois of Elohad Nadoi. We don't agree with Nadoi, and as we said yesterday, and we repeat today, we consider certainly L'chumra, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, as one long Kedusha. And this condition that the Gemara says is not, therefore, an option when Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday. There's an interesting Rambam, similar to the Tzlach that we spoke about before. The Rambam says that when can we rely on this condition? It can happen. People forget making Erev Tavshilin. When can we rely on this condition, says the Rambam? That was Bizman HaGemara, where a Taka didn't know which is the first day, which is the real day of Yontif. So we can make this condition. However, says the Rambam, nowadays, as we said earlier, that we really know that the first day Yontif is really the first day Yontif. So making condition and saying, well, if today is not Yontif, then, and therefore tomorrow's Yontif is something that's just incongruous, says the Rambam, that in our world, where we have the fixed calendar, we cannot make the condition. Most Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and they say, again, the Gemara didn't draw that distinction. We have to consider both days Yontav and Sofik, and the condition is an acceptable approach. However, the Kaf HaChaim says, when somebody didn't make an Erev Tevshilin, he really has one of two options. One option is the condition that the Gemara just taught us, and the other option is that when the Rav of the city makes his Erev Tavshilin, he's supposed to have in mind that it should work for everybody in the town. Says the Kaf HaChaim, if a person is faced with this situation, that he didn't make an Erev, and it's the first day Yontif, and what's better to do? He says it's better to rely on the Rav. Number one, he says, because the Rambam says that in our world the condition is not acceptable. Number two, the Pais can have a very big discussion, do you make a bracha when you make the Erev with a condition? So not to have a shayla of a Suffolk bracha, just rely on the Rav's Erev, and that's the best solution. It's not a perfect solution, because when we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha is Erev Tashilin, you can't always rely on the Rav. The Mishnah Berurah discusses how many times, so it's not always a perfect solution. Before we go into the next sugya, there's an interesting shach based on this Gemara. Again, I'm not saying this or really anything halach l'mais, I'm just raising this issue. Here the Gemara says that if Rachman al-Tzlan there's a mace on Yontav Sheni, we make a levaya Yontav Sheni with Jews. Says the Shach, we know that if you're supposed to make a bris milah on Shabbos or Yontav, if the 8th day comes out on Shabbos Yontav, the halach is it's toich Shabbos and Yontav. Toich Shabbos certainly Yontav. What about a milah shaloi bezmanoi? So Mila Shalai Bezmanai is certainly not Doicha Shabbos, that everybody knows. Says the Shach, this is the way the Nod Behud explains the Shach. Let's say you have a child that it's the second day Yontif. So if, and he's a Sofik, is this the 8th day or the 9th day? He was born Friday evening, Bein HaShemoshes. So on Shabbos you don't make such a Bris Mila. But says the Shach, that for such a child, perhaps you'd like to be make the Bris Mila on the Yontif Sheni. Since we see that for a Levaya, Yontav Sheni is more lenient. For a mitzvah of a bris milah, and it's a suffix that maybe today is really the 8th day, you should certainly be allowed to make the bris milah on such a day. And there are those that want to say that according to the Shach, even if you know for sure that today is not the 8th day, you had a child that you couldn't make the miss in the right time, And now Baruch Hashem, the child is ready for the bris, and it's the second day Yontif, that those that want to suggest, and again, I strongly say this, nobody should take this laloch lemaisa, that perhaps you're allowed to make a bris shaloi bezmanoi on the second day Yontif. Why is it different than a levaya? Says the Gemara, Itmar, Efrayach shenoi lebe Yontif. And when I learned this Gemara, I had a hard time understanding it, so I want to not make the, not have anybody else make the same mistake I made. Till now we've been discussing Bei Shenolda. What does Bei Shenolda mean? That the egg was laid on Yontif. But when an egg is laid, there's another step. If you want it to turn into a chicken, you have to wait till the shell cracks. So what happened here was, Efrayach shenoi lebe Yontif. The egg was laid before Yontif, and you are waiting till it will crack. And when does it crack? On Yontif. So the question is that chicken that was born now muks or not? Says the Gemara Machlokes. Rav Amar, Rav says it's muksa. Because since when Yontif began, it wasn't yet a chicken, it was muksa. You couldn't use it. So it stays muksa. V'shmuvi, Tamer Rav Yochan Amar, mutter. It's mutter. Rav Amar muksa, Rav Amar Osir, because muksahu. V'shmuvi, Tamer Rav Yochan Amar, mutter. For an interesting concept. They hold, hoy lomata atzma b'shchita. Since till now you couldn't shecht it, because you can't shecht an egg, a chicken when it's still in the shell. So now it became susceptible to shchita, so the permissibility of shchita brings along with it the permissibility of it not being muksa. As Tosfos, and this goes back to a concept we've discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, why did the Gemara have to come up with this new concept, which is somewhat difficult to understand? The Gemara could have said a very simple reason. Rav holds a muksa, and Shmuel doesn't hold a muksa. We've learned that there's machlokes, Rav Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos says one teretz, that Shmuel's trying to give an explanation according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, if you hold like Rav Shimon, there's no discussion. We don't hold a muksa. But Shmuel's trying to give an explanation that even Rabbi Yehuda, who does subscribe to muksa, will agree that this chick is not muksa. But other Rishonim, Tosfos included, give other reasons. Because we've emphasized this concept. When we say Rav Shimon doesn't hold a muksa, it doesn't mean that he doesn't hold a muksa at all. He has a more limited definition of muksa. But certain muksas, he will agree, apply. And this chick, they say, fall under those categories. There are different opinions in the Rishonim what that would be. Some say it's muksum achmas gufoi. It's because it's like grogus tzmukim. It's set it aside, not to touch, until the chick comes out. Others say it's muksum achmas tzorim kiss. You don't want to play around with this. You don't want to have the shell crack too early. Another say it's noilid. Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asili Rav. You who say that the chick that comes out of the shell on yontif is muksa. So he asked v'chei man zeh la'egel shenol b'yontif. What would be the halacha if a mother animal had a baby on Yontif? So everybody agrees that that animal that's born is not muksa. So why is the chick that comes out of the shell mutter? Asur. Amalei hoyle mukhna gav ima b'shchita. The halacha is, Gemara Masechta Chulin discusses a ben pekua. Let's say you shecht a mother. And when you shecht the mother, you find in the mother an animal. So the halacha is that that animal, midaraisa, doesn't need shchita. So what do we see that the animal, the child that's born, was really part of the mother. So since the mother was a muksa, because the animal is not muksa on yontif, because you could shech the animal on yontif, therefore the child in it, by extension, is also not muksa. So he says, and why would it be, umar ben zel egel shenoil min atreifa? When will the shechit of the mother help for the child? When the mother's not a treifa. But the halacha is, that let's say the mother's a treifa. So the shechita wouldn't help any, because treifa can't have shechita. So here, and the baby animal is born, the shechita works for it. So we see that shechita works for, that even if the mother is not mutter, just because the animal was born, it's mutter, so the chick that comes out should be mutter. There's a very interesting brisker rav that explains this concept, why if the mother is a treifa, will the shechita of the mother not work for the child? He says, the world learns that that shechita of the mother is like you shechting the child. He says that's an incorrect understanding. He says the way to understand it is that an effective shechita is as if not only you're shechting a mother, it's also as if you're shechting the child. But when could that be applicable? only when it's an effective shechita. There is no shechita on the treifa. So therefore, there's no effective shechita on the mother, and therefore there's no effective shechita on the child. Shasav Rav. So Rav remained quiet. Salaim lehu, har lemuchan agav ima leklovim. So Gemara says that by this mother who was a treifa, it's not muksa. You know why it's not muksa? Because it was standing to give to dogs. We can't eat it. It's a treifa. But this chick in the shell was separated. We don't want to use it. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya goes a step further. Hash the muchan l'adam. If something is set aside for human consumption, lo yavim muchan l'klovim. We can't say that it's set, that it's, if you could change your mind and give it to dogs, and should not be muksa. That's not. We learned the Mishnah. Mechatchan sadlun l'fnei behema. As we explained in Daf Bezum and Aleph, this has nothing to do with muksa. Here the Gemara, the Mishnah is discussing a yulada. Cut cucumbers, is that called tirchon yontif? But it's nevela fnei klovim. A nevela you're allowed to kill, you're allowed to give to klovim. Even though before yontif it wasn't a nevela, the Tanakhama doesn't hold of muksa. Yehuda Oimer, Yehuda disagrees. He says, if it wasn't a nevela be Erev Shabbos, so it wasn't designated for dogs, so when Erev Shabbos began, it was muksa, because a live animal is muksa on Shabbos. You have nothing you can do with a live animal, you're not allowed to shecht, so it's muksa. So therefore, the same thing, muchen leklovim, if something is designated for animals, have a muchen la'adam. So what he's saying is, why didn't you, Rav, say that just because the mother is good for the dogs doesn't affect the child? Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says, in muchen la'adam, if something is designated for adam, lo have a muchen leklovim. Why? The ma'ida chazal l'inish, something that people want to eat, l'shadal l'klovim, they're not going to give to dogs. However, muchen l'klovim, the mother that's muchen l'klovim, even though in this mother is the child that will be potentially edible, have a muchen l'klovim. It's automatically considered not muksa. That is the inish, because a person thinks that akol mida d'chazalei, whatever he could have, he'll use. Tanya kavasa d'rav, and Tanya Kavasa the Shmuel. The Brice is the corroborates Rav's position, there's a Brice that corroborates Shmuel's position. Shmuel Vitaim Rav Yochanan. Tanya Kavasa the Rav, Egel Shinol B'yontiv. If you have a calf that was born in Yontiv, Mutter, however, Froyach Shinol B'yontiv, if the shell cracks and the Froyach comes out, also. Ask the Brice, as Rav taught us, ask the Brice itself, Uma Ben Hefresh Ben Zelazer, what's the difference? Says the Brice, Zeh Muchen Agav Ima B'Shchita. Since the Shchita of the mother works for the child, that's why the child is not considered Muksa. Zeh Muchen Agav Ima, the egg in the shell, there's no mother that it's in that can help it. Tanya Kavas the Shmu, Vitaim Rabbi Yochanan. Egel Shnoel B'Yontav Mutter. A calf that's born in Yontav is Mutter. The Freyach Shnoel B'Yontav Mutter. And a Freyach that's born in Yontav is Mutter. My Tam, why are we Makel? Why are we lenient in both situations? Says the Gemara, Shmuel Vitaim Rabbi Yochanan taught us. Zem Muchen Agav Imoy. This child, the eagle is not muksa because it's part of the mother. And since the mother on Yontif is not muksa because we could shecht on Yontif, the Zem Matar Atzma B'Shchita, and by the child, even though we don't have, by the egg, even though we don't have this concept that it's part of the mother, we have a different concept. That since when it comes out of the shell, we could shecht it. So now that it's open for shechita, that also takes off from it the muksa status. Tan Rabbanan. Efrayach shenoyel b'yontif. If an Efrayach is born in yontif, aser. That's like Rav taught us. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov takes another condition. He says, af b'chol aser. Even when a chick comes out of its shell during the week, it's not yet mutter. Why? We have to wait until it opens its eyes. So Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is teaching us this is not a muksa de gerul, different rule altogether. He's teaching us now that at what point is the chicken considered viable that we could shecht it and eat it? Only after it opened its eyes. Keman az lohod tanya, l'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz ha-oretz, that something is included in the category of shrotzim, l'rabois that a chick that's born and did not yet open its eyes, it's still considered a sheretz. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who taught us that until it's opened its eyes, it's prohibited to be eaten. There's a machloikis ha'achroinim. This iser to eat a chick that didn't deshech the chicken, therefore eat it. Before it opened its eyes, that we're learning from the pasuk l'chal sheretz hasheretz al aretz, is it a issa deraisa, that it's a sheretz mideraisa, or it's only a issa midrabbonim. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna Amar Rav makes a statement that we're going to spend time trying to understand. Beya im yitziyasa nigmara. An egg, when it comes out, that's when it's completed. It says the Ramayim yitziyasa nigmara. What does Rav mean with these words? Ilayim im yitziyasa nigmara, that when it comes out, it's complete. Umataris lacha b'chalav. And therefore, the halacha is like this. Chicken, you're not allowed to eat with milk. It's basa b'chalav. An egg, we know, you are allowed to eat with milk. So the question is, at what point is an egg no longer fleishix? So what the Gemara is saying is that perhaps Rav is telling us that only when the chicken comes out from its mother, when it was laid, then is the egg considered an egg, that egg may be eaten with dairy. But if you extract eggs from the mother's womb, those eggs will always be considered fleishix and cannot be eaten with dairy. As the Gemara, V'tanya, Hashoichit, Es HaTanagoylis, if somebody shechts a chicken, or Matzba Beim, and there were eggs in the womb of the chicken, the Beim Gemurus. So I don't want to spend too much time talking about Beim Gemurus, we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Rashi explains Beim Gemurus, is that the yellow was developed. As soon as the yolk is developed, that's considered Beim Gemurus. There are other Rishonim, and that's really what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that are not that lenient. They say it's not enough that just the yellow was developed, the white also has to be developed. Mitaris lachem b'cholof. So what are you saying that Pshat and Rav is? That if the eggs are extracted from the mother's womb, they're always going to be considered fleishiks. The Braisa says it's mutter, says the Gemara. El mitzios enigmara means something else. Umutter lach lebiyontif. That when are you allowed to eat eggs that were born on Yontif, if they were born in a normal fashion? But if you extract eggs from the mother's womb on Yontif, asur lech b'yontif. Such an egg would not be allowed to be eaten in Yontif. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, we learned the Gemara, a brice on that phase of a base, that said, Hashoich Resetana Goylis, if somebody shechs a hen, or matzah ba Beim Gemurus, and in the hen was found Beim Gemurus, Mataris Lachlan Beyontav. And if just to review what we learned on that Beis on the Beis, what the Gemara said over there was that even if we're concerned with eggs that are laid on Yontif, Hachon de Rava, or the other considerations, when do we have that concern when the egg was laid in the normal fashion? However, an egg found in the mother's, in a hen's womb, given that it's a milsad l'shchicha, l'gazu barabonon, so ask the Gemara, how are you explaining that the halacha would be? That if an egg was found in its mother's womb, on Yontif, and you slaughtered the chicken, you're not allowed to eat that egg, we learned the b'raisa that you're allowed to. V'chitema, k'mashlam b'raisa. Ma'ad l'shaminim m'masnisin. Maybe this b'raisa, this way Rishonim explain, is an incorrect b'raisa. What's the proof? Because the Mishnah doesn't say this thing. The Mishnah doesn't say that if you find the eggs in the womb, it's mutter. So maybe the Mishnah holds its osur. And therefore we should not be concerned with what this b'raisa says. Says the Gemara, Hanami Tanina. The Mishnah does really teach us that eggs found in a mother's womb, even if it's on Yontif, may be eaten. Because it said in our Mishnah, let's review what it said in the Mishnah, that Beis Amin Aleph, Beis Amin Aleph, Beis Amin Aleph, if an egg was born in Yontif, Beis Amin Aleph, 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 as we explained on that Beis and Daf Gimel, various different reasons. Says the Gemara, where do we find Beis Amin Aleph, Beis Amin Aleph, having a Machloikis? I can't look like Beis Amin Aleph, Beis Amin Aleph, El Ben Aldo, when it was born. Beis Amin Aleph is Machmer, Beis Amin Aleph is Mekel. Ab Bein Mimon, when the eggs were found in the mother's womb, given that the Mishnah doesn't say it's Aser, what is the Mishnah really teaching us? To the Reakal Sharian. So what will you tell me? The Chitema, Beis Hillel Afil B'Meyema Nami Asri. Really, Beis Hillel say that if they were found in the womb, they were Aser. And that's what Rav's teaching us. I will ask, so why did the Mishnah only speak about eggs that were born? Why did the Mishnah also speak about eggs that were found? To teach us how far Beis Shammai are lenient. that not only if the eggs were found in the mother's womb are they lenient, the filu nol de namishari. So we're back to where we started. Says the Gemara, Elohad Tanya, if that's the case, we have a braisa. The braisa says, Ashaykh Tanagarlus, or Matsu Babem Gemurus, Mataris Lachem Beyontif, Mani, who will be the Tana that braisa? Loit Beishamai, because according to Beishamai, you don't have to have that the eggs were found. Even if the eggs were born, it's Mutter, the Loit Beishillel. According to Beishillel, even if they're, not only if they're found are they Asr, but even if they're born, they're Asr. So it must be that that's not shot. So just to stop for a moment, what the Gemara is teaching us is, the Gemara wanted to attempt to say that what Beis Shammai, what Rav was teaching us, what Rav Hunam and Rav was teaching us is, that if a chicken, a hen, is slaughtered on Yontif, and you find eggs in the womb, that those eggs are prohibited, and the Gemara said that's not true, even Beis Hillel, who's machmer in our Mishnah, and says that eggs that are laid on Yontif may not be eaten, will hold that eggs that are found in the womb are mutter. So now we're back to where we started. Rav Hunam and Rav made a statement, Beyah, the Beyah Mitzios Nigmara, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, it means something else altogether. Ela Mitzios Nigmara Magdalis Afroichim, a chicken, an egg that's laid, hatched, in a normal fashion, can develop into a chicken. Beyah, the Me'ima, but if you extract an egg from its mother's womb, Eina Magdalis Afroichim. That egg can never form into a chicken. Says the Gemara L'mayin Afkamina. It's a very nice scientific fact, but we're not learning science. We're learning Gemara. Says the Gemara L'mekach HaMemker. It has business ramifications. Because as we know, when a transaction takes place, both sides have to be honest. And if one side didn't keep his side of the deal falls apart. Kihuda Amalei. There was somebody came and said, Deya de Pachi Laman. Who has eggs that are cackling? Yavle beid shluta. So they brought him eggs of an animal that they slaughtered and extracted the eggs. Aslut kamei the Rav Ami. And now the customer comes to Rav Ami, comes to the Rav with a taina. He says, I wanted eggs that were laid, were hatched in the normal fashion, and he gave me eggs that were extracted from the stomach. Amalhu mekich tos. The deal he wasn't kept as required for Hada. And he has to give you back your money. Says the Gemara Pshita. So the way the Shita Mekabetzis explains the Gemara is as follows. There are a few ways of learning the Gemara. They all come to the same point. Sometimes you go to a Rav with a Shaila, and there's a real Shaila, and you need a Rav who's a Talmud Chacham to answer your Shaila. This is black and white. He asked for eggs that came from a Shchuta. He didn't get what he asked for. So obviously he's entitled to his money back. What do you need? So what did, says the Shittim Kubetzis, the Rav Ami have to say Mekach Tos? It's obviously it's a Mekach Tos. That's one explanation. Another explanation is, why do you have to go to Rav? It's an open and shut case. Another explanation is, what does the Gemara have to teach? The Ritva says this explanation. What does the Gemara have to bring this down? It's so obvious, says the Gemara. Ma detei mahalachilu kaboyle. Why does the person, he thought, why are you buying eggs? Because he wants to eat eggs. For hard to come to Pachya, why did he want eggs from an animal, from an egg that was laid in the normal fashion? Mishim the Treven. Because those eggs are better, they're richer, they have more value. Lamay Nafkamina. And therefore, Lamay Nafkamina, Maisele Bene Bene. So the way to Shreinim explain the Gemara is as follows. The person selling the eggs thought that what did the customer want to do with these eggs? He wanted to eat them. So yes, eggs that are hatched are better, tastier, whatever you want to call them, than eggs that come, that are extracted from the mother's stomach. But they're both edible. So maybe, as I would understand it, I don't know if it's a perfect example, eggs that come from a hatch, that are hatched, are grade A, and eggs that are extracted from the stomach are grade B. And grade A, every egg is worth a quarter, 25 cents, and grade B is worth a dime. But you ate an egg, so Itaka shouldn't have charged you 25 cents, I should have charged you 10 cents. I owe you 15 cents. But I don't have to give you back the whole 25 cents. So he said, no. I wanted the egg to raise from it a chicken. An egg that comes, that's extracted from its mother's stomach, we learned, can never develop into a chicken. So it's not just that you have to give me the difference between a good quality egg and a poor quality egg. You have to give me back my whole money because it's a mekach tos. I wanted it to raise, and now I will never be able to develop a chicken. That's why you said mekach tos, and I get back the whole money.